Anger is a God-given emotion. Anger in itself is not wrong. Emotions are our responses to life situations. They're not good, bad, or sinful. Emotions are simply a part of our human makeup, subject to our control. We can have wrong responses to anger. Anger can be destructive. It can cause problems in your personal relationships, including your family or your place of work. Anger is an emotional state that varies in intensity from mild irritation to fury and rage. Anger creates a physical response that causes increased heart rate, perspiration, rise in blood pressure, and release of energy hormones. Men are more likely to experience anger and then get over it more quickly, but be more aggressive in the process. This doesn't mean that women don't get angry. Children learn what they see. If family members are out of control and possess few skills to manage anger, then family members, children, are going to learn that behavior as well. Anger should not become destructive to you or to those around you. You alone are responsible for your anger responses and will be held accountable for your responses. No one makes you do anything. You aren't forced into anger by anyone. We were at lunch today waiting on our food, and I got to talking about Lee. And when he does something, she said, he says, "Something just made me do it." And I talked to her a minute about Adam and Eve. And Adam blamed Eve because she gave me the fruit. And I didn't get the point about Adam also blamed God because you gave me the woman. But sometimes we blame others. But no one makes me be angry. You can, or I can, manage anger. I want to make this point at the very outset. Anger is manageable. Not everyone has an anger problem. Anger can motivate us and lead us to change. You can learn to express anger in appropriate ways. Use it beneficially. If anger is acknowledged and addressed, changes can occur. Anger can get us out of danger. Anger can give us a sudden burst of energy that we need, an adrenaline flow to escape danger. Anger can be directed towards sin, at sin itself, not at the person. There are many negative consequences of anger. Relationship problems, verbal, emotional, physical abuse, crime and violence, a sense of entitlement, it's mine, self-focus, selfishness, pride, bitterness, hate, hostility, rage, and aggression, to name a few. And we're going to see many of these illustrated in our next few slides. I want to look now at some biblical examples of anger. As we do this, I got several of them. And I want you to put yourself not at the 10,000 foot view looking down on the situation, not sitting off to the side. I'd like for you to think as we go through these, if you were the place of the person who was made angry, how would you have reacted? How would you have reacted if you were in the place of the person who got angry in this particular situation? first one we'll look at is from Genesis chapter 4. And I apologize, all the verses are on the screen, but some of them are very small, because I had several verses put up there. So if you want to turn and look at them, you're welcome to do so. But the first one's from Genesis chapter 4. And the context here is Adam and Eve had been cast from the Garden of Eden because of their sin at the close of chapter 3. Sons are born to them, Cain and Abel. Abel's a keeper of sheep, and Cain's a tiller of the soil. Beginning then in verse 3 of Genesis chapter 4, in the process of time it came to pass that Cain brought an offering of the fruit of the ground to the Lord. Abel also brought of the firstborn of his flocks and their fat. And the Lord respected Abel and his offering, but he did not respect Cain and his offering, and Cain was very angry, and his countenance fell. So the Lord said to Cain, "Why are you angry? And why is your countenance fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin lies at the door, and its desire is for you, but you shall rule over it." Now Cain talked with his brother Abel, and it came to pass, when they were in the field, that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and killed him. Before murder came, it is said that Cain was very angry with his brother. The next one's in Exodus chapter 10. This is in the midst of the plagues on the Egyptians. Chapter 9 is the plagues of boil, hail. In the first part of chapter 10, Moses tells Pharaoh the plague of locusts is coming. And Pharaoh's servants say to them, "Let them go." And that's what's in verses 10 and 11. Pharaoh is very angry. He says that the men, not all the people as Moses asked, but the men can go worship. The plague of locusts is then sent by Jehovah. After that, Pharaoh calls for Moses, saying he has sinned, and wants Moses to entreat the Lord for him. Pharaoh's heart was hardened again, and the plague of darkness followed. And then in verse 27 and 28, we see Pharaoh's anger. Exodus 10:27. "But the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart, and would not let them go. And Pharaoh said to him, 'Get away from me. Take heed to yourself, and see my face no more. For in the day you see my face, you shall die.'" Pharaoh was angry. And now one a little bit different. God and Moses were angry toward the children of Israel. This is Exodus chapter 32. Moses is up in the mountain before Jehovah, and the people and Aaron made the golden calf. God tells Moses to go down and see what this people have done. In verse 10, "Now therefore let me alone, that my wrath may burn hot against them," God says, "and I may consume them, and I will make of you a great nation." And Moses pleads to God on behalf of the people. And in verses 15 through 19, Moses turned and went down from the mountain, and the two tables of testimony were in his hands. Tablets were written on both sides, on one side and on the other they were written. Now the tablets were the work of God, and the writing was writing of God engraved in the tablets. And when Joshua heard the noise of the people, he said to Moses, "There is a noise of war in the camp." But he said, "It is not the noise of the shout of victory, nor the cry of defeat, but the sound of singing I hear." So it was, as soon as he came to the camp, that he saw the calf and the dancing. So Moses' anger became hot, and he cast the tablets out of his hand and broke them at the foot of the mountain. God and Moses here were angry toward sin. Second Kings chapter 5. Naaman, the commander of the army of the king of Syria, was a leper. He learns of a prophet in Israel who can heal him. After going to the king of Israel and sending the king into an angry fit, Naaman comes to Elisha, the prophet. Then Naaman went and stood with his horse and chariot at the door of Elisha's house. And Elisha sent a messenger to him, saying, go wash in the Jordan 7 times, and your flesh shall be restored to you, and you shall be clean. But Naaman became furious, and went away and said, indeed, I said to myself, he will surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God, and wave his hand over to this place, and heal the leprosy. Are not the Arbana and the Pharpar, the rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? Could I not wash in them and be clean? So he turned away and went away in an anger, in a rage, excuse me. He was so mad that he couldn't accept the healing that was his. But he went away in a rage. From Esther chapter 1. It's the Ahasuerus toward Vashti. He was a king who reigned over 127 provinces from India to Ethiopia. Powerful king. He sat on his throne in Shushan. Celebration had been going on for 7 days. And Queen Vashti also made a feast for the women. In verse 10, on the seventh day, when the heart of the king was merry with wine, he commanded 7 eunuchs who served in the presence of King Ahasuerus to bring Queen Vashti before the king, wearing her royal crown, in order to show her beauty to the people and the officials, for she was beautiful to behold. But Queen Vashti refused to come to the king's command. Queen Vashti refused to come to the king's command and brought the eunuchs. Therefore, the king was furious, and his anger burned within him. Why? Because his pride was hurt. Chapter 3, that same story. Still in the book of Esther, King Ahasuerus has promoted Haman and advanced him and set his seat above all the princes who served with him. Everyone bowed and paid homage to Haman, for so the king had commanded to them to do. That is everybody except Mordecai, who would not bow down. Chapter 3 and verse 5, when Haman saw that Mordecai did not bow or pay him homage, Haman was filled with wrath. How would you have felt? The king had commanded that you pay homage to this man. Nebuchadnezzar, Daniel chapter 3. Nebuchadnezzar has made an image of gold. His height is 60 cubits, and his width is 6 cubits. He set up in the plains of Dura, in the province of Babylon. At the sound of the music, everybody was to bow down and worship this image. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego refused to bow down to the king's statue. And in verse 12 of Daniel chapter 3, there were certain Jews whom you have set over the affairs of the provinces of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have not paid due regard to you. They do not serve your gods or worship the golden image you set up. Then Nebuchadnezzar, in a rage and fury, gave the command to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So they brought the 3 before the king. How would you have felt if you were the king? Moving now to the New Testament, Matthew chapter 2. Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea in the days of Herod the king. Wise men came from the east to visit. They were looking for Jesus. For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him. They went to visit Herod to inquire about him. He instructed them to come back after they had found the child. But they were divinely warned in a dream not to do so. And in verse 16 of Matthew chapter 2, then Herod, when he saw he was deceived by the wise men, put yourself in Herod's position, was exceedingly angry. And he sent forth and put to death all the male children who were in Bethlehem and all his districts from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had determined from the wise men. And one more. This is in Acts chapter 7. Stephen, one of the men appointed in chapter 6 to care for the Grecian widows. In the last part of 6, he's disputing with some of the Jews. They were not able to resist his wisdom and the spirit with which he spoke. So they accused him of speaking blasphemy against Moses and against God. And they seized Stephen and brought him before the council. Chapter 7 is Stephen's defense before the council. And in verse 54, cut to the heart. They gnashed on him with their teeth, or gnashed at him with their teeth. And the last part in verse 58, they took him out and stoned him. Their anger led to the death of Stephen. What's the summary from these passages? Jealousy. Taking revenge toward the person who's in the right. Selfishness. I want it my way. Pride. We also find anger at sin, among other things in these things. Now, what's our response to anger? What's our response to anger? Let's go back to Genesis chapter 3. We were there earlier. This is the Cain and Abel. It says, If you do well, will you not be accepted? If you do not do well, sin lies at the door, and its desire is for you, but you should rule over it. God tells Cain he has a choice. Sin wants you, but you should rule over it. For most of us, and this is my problem, not in this area, but in many, it's not knowing what we should do, but it's doing it. You should rule over it. Our response to anger is what matters to God, how we deal with it. For example, Jesus became angry over godly matters. Matthew chapter 21. Jesus in the temple. He drove out those who bought and sold in the temple, overturned the tables of the money changers, and the seats of those who sold doves. And he said to them, it is written, my house should be called a house of prayer. You made a den of thieves. Jesus experienced emotions like we do, compassion, pity, grief, and yes, even anger. Their Pharisees angered him continually as they tried to trap him. And on this occasion, he's angered by the conditions in my house, the way they were treating God's house. Ephesians 4:26, a short verse that most of us know. This verse says, be ye angry and do not sin. Anger, as said earlier, is part of our human nature. But mishandling of anger creates problems. So God adds to this, do not sin. We can be angry. We can control that anger and direct it toward solving the problem and not sin. Verse 27, the verse following this one says, be angry, do not sin, nor give place to the devil. Remember, we made a point a couple of slides back from Genesis 3, that sin wants you, but you shall rule over it. When we mishandle anger, when we sin because of anger, we give place to the devil. 1 Corinthians 15:34. This phrase, do not sin, is used there also. It's preached this time by awake to righteousness. Awake to righteousness and do not sin. Anger allowed to build up can easily turn into bitterness, resentment, hatred, and revenge. So then we ask the question, how do you deal with anger? James 1, verse 19. So then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. We've already looked at this verse here. Don't lash out. Slow down and think before you speak or act. This is where the old count to 10 comes into play. We've all heard that before. Words spoken cannot be easily retracted. Unresolved anger leads to destructive and explosive behavior. Proverbs 29:11. A fool vents all his feelings, but a wise man holds them back. Control your tongue and control your behavior. Very similar point to the previous slide. Self-control, as we'll see a little later, is a fruit of the Spirit. Proverbs 14:17 says, a quick-tempered man acts foolishly. And Proverbs 15:1, a soft answer turneth away wrath, but harsh word stirs up anger. A quick response spoken in anger is often regretted. You ever try to reach out and retract those words just after they left your tongue? Matthew 5:22, but I say to you that whoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. Whoever says to his brother, Raka, shall be in danger of the council. Whoever says, you fool, shall be in danger of hell fire. One thing that leads to things we regret is name calling. And I guess the prime example in our day and time is road rage. Road rage starts off maybe a little small, and before you know it's escalated as people call one another names. And as you well know, has even led to murder on occasion. Proverbs 22:24. Make no friendship with an angry man. With a furious man, do not go. Don't associate with people that are prone to be angry. In a little different context, 1 Corinthians 15:33 says, do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits. The same principle that you've got here. Don't stay around angry people. Proverbs 19:11 says, good sense makes a man slow to anger. As I read that, I mean, I just think we've got good sense. We may have it, but we just don't use it enough times. Good sense makes a man slow to anger. Don't take offense when someone says something to you that would make you mad. Overlook their insults. It's not easy. It's not easy. But it can be done. Proverbs 14:17, a quick-tempered man acts foolishly. 14:29, he who is slow to wrath has great understanding. 16:32, he who is slow to anger is better than the mighty. A hot temper can get us in trouble. Impulsive behavior has got to be controlled. Slow to wrath, slow to anger. Don't be quick-tempered. There are three more of these slides, three more points on this how to deal with anger. And these are really the heart of the matter, and perhaps the hardest ones to do. Matthew 6:14 says, if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. It doesn't matter if others are wrong. You've got to learn. I've got to learn to forgive. After all, we didn't deserve God's forgiveness, but He gave it to us anyway. So, one more major point. To control your anger, learn to forgive. Forgiveness. Forgiveness does not mean the acceptance of what happened. You're not agreeing with what the person did. Rather, you're choosing to forgive. Forgiveness isn't always easy. If you're the one who's committed the anger offenses, ask God to forgive you. Then truly repent and move on. Now think about that. If you're guilty of anger offenses, ask God to forgive you. Repent. And move on. We have a person at work in senior management. He can take a person into his office and deal with a severe personnel or discipline problem hard and severely. And an hour later, be in a meeting with that same person and sit across the table and talk to them as if it didn't happen. He deals with it and moves on. A while back I was reading a book, these self-help type books. This book asks that you find some people who know you well to list what they perceive to be your three strengths and your three weaknesses, areas that need to be improved upon. This man knows me quite well, has for many years at work. When he listed my three weaknesses, the three that need to be worked on, one of them he listed was to learn to forgive. Now he said, my wife needs to learn that too. I'm not just picking on you. Because he's really worked on that point. So that when he does have something to deal with, he deals with it, puts it aside, and moves on. He's really worked on learning to forgive. And that keeps you from harboring this anger that's there. And that leads then to the next point on how to deal with anger. Colossians 3:8 says, but now you yourselves are put off these things. Put off anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language. Put off. Don't stay angry. Don't stay angry. It's in a little different context, but maybe we can bridge the point across a little bit. In Philippians 3, when Paul's talking about, he says, not that I've already attained or I'm already perfected, but I press on, I may hold that for which Christ has laid hold on for me. Verse 13, he says, I do not count myself as having myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things that are behind and reaching those things that are ahead. This may be the context in which Paul said that, but I think about the prior life that Paul had, the things he was in his past. He said, I forget about those things that's behind me. Can't do anything about them now. He said, I press on toward the goal that I'm reaching for. Put off anger. Don't stay angry. People get physically and emotionally sick when they hang on to anger and allow it to develop the roots of bitterness. And the last of these 3 points, 1 Peter 5, verses 6 and 7. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care on him, for he cares for you. Have you got a problem, anger, or anything else? How much do you pray about it? One of the things I have to really work on is a constant prayer for a forgiving attitude, for kindness toward my fellow man, patience. 3 things to deal with anger. Learn to forgive. Don't stay angry. And pray. Why would I say this? Because God doesn't ask us to do something without failing to equip us to do it. When God says be angry and don't sin, we can be angry and don't sin. Otherwise, he wouldn't have told us that. It's up to us to execute. We all get upset when things don't go our way or people treat us poorly. But thinking negative thoughts just upsets us more. Instead of demanding that people behave the right way, what we think is the right way, and to try changing our thoughts. If you continue to think you didn't deserve what happened, it doesn't make you feel any better. And it probably does very little to fix the problem. Now, I'm thinking about Joseph as a prime example of this. Did he deserve better? Oh, you say, but that was God's plan. Well, when it was happening to Joseph at the time, he didn't know it was God's plan. He didn't know what the outcome was going to be down the road. How do I know when God sends these things my way, He's not testing me to strengthen me? 2 Corinthians 10, verse 5. Controlling our thoughts. Casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity for the obedience of Christ. In Philippians 4, 8, a verse we're very familiar with. Whatsoever things are true, noble, just, pure, lovely, good report, is any virtue and anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. I didn't see anger in that list anywhere. These are the things we're to meditate on, our thoughts. One of the more modern day translations says, there let your thoughts dwell. I mentioned earlier the fruit of the Spirit. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness. Don't see anger in that list anywhere. Another translation says peace, forbearance, kindliness, gentleness, self-control. Back to our thoughts about prayer. Are these the things you pray for? Remember the golden rule? Is your attitude toward the people who make you angry the same attitude you want them to have toward you? And the last slide is on repentance. Change is a hallmark of a Christian. Hallmark simply means a notable feature or characteristic. A noticeable feature or characteristic. Repentance, change, is a noticeable or feature or characteristic of a Christian. If I've got anger problems or any other problems, change, repentance, is what I've got to address. And the reason you're hearing this tonight is because when I read books like I read, a lot of them, I was reading one on attitude for the whole section on anger control, anger management. That's where it came from. Change is an ongoing process. I can't one day have a trait of being angry and the next day turn it off. It generally doesn't work that way. I've got to work on it. We've got to change any non-Christ-like behavior, including uncontrolled anger. Wednesday night when Charles made the announcement about Caleb Whistler, he made a comment that struck me and stuck with me. When he said, "We need to be righteous so that our prayers will be heard." I've heard it before, but somehow it hit me and stuck with me when Charles made that comment Wednesday night. How can we pray to God? How can we pray to God and expect our prayer to be heard when we're unrighteous, be it anger or whatever? I thank you for listening. I hope this helps. Tonight, if there's sin in your life, be it anger, uncontrolled anger, or anything else that's unchristlike, the key word is repentance. We've got to change. I have, or you have. If you're not a Christian this morning, Bob addressed that. How to know when I'm ready. Christ's invitation is here for us tonight. And if you're a subject, come to the front while we stand and sing.